I was glad that Pastor James sent out that email this week warning us that he'd be gone because, as he said, the last 2 weeks we have said farewell to two staff members, so he didn't want you to think that it was three in a row. So, but unfortunately, he also warned you that I was preaching, so our in-person attendance seems to be down. But for those of you that are here, you get the 2% off tithe coupon just for coming. So perfect, perfect. Glad that you are here. And if you're with us online, glad that we are worshiping together as well. So what is your favorite meal? What is your favorite meal? I know mine. I know mine. I even have a picture of mine. Do you have that, Christy? My favorite meal is country fried steak, mashed potatoes, cream gravy, green beans, cornbread with honey, and pumpkin pie. Oh, baby. Getting hungry already. And my wife made it for me this week against her better judgment of fried meat. Oh, it was delicious. What is your favorite meal? Maybe if you're at home, write it in the comment box, but some of you, what if you could have, if you were that death row inmate and you had one final meal, what would it be? It has to be her spaghetti. I hear you. I hear you. Nobody else's. I hear you. I hear you. Who else? Liver and onions. Oh, Jesus, we pray for our sister. Wow. You can have mine. You can have mine. Oh, Red Robin cheeseburger. Fabulous, fabulous. Very good. Anybody else? Costco? Oh, tacos. Tacos. There you go. There. I'm usually a lip reader, so when this mask thing is really messing with my mind. Bill, did you say KFC? Your wife is shaking her head no. That you try to take her there for hot dates and they're not so hot. Tomato Street? You like that? I hear that her spaghetti is pretty good. Maybe we'll have to put that to the test. Madonna? Oh baby. Yeah, that's probably my second favorite. She said Thanksgiving meal, essentially, which doesn't have to be secluded to the last Thursday of November, right? Oh, now I'm hungry. Well, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May his face smile upon you as we go to lunch. Well, maybe you're getting hungry, too, thinking about your favorite meal. But remember, we are in the midst of a series that we're calling Hashtag Blessed. Not what you think. I wonder, what does this have to do with a meal? Well, we'll look at that beatitude today. And that's what we mean in this hashtag blessed. We're looking at that passage in Matthew chapter 5, which we commonly call the Beatitudes. This is where Jesus, in very much in keeping with the teaching style of his day and of Scripture, is giving a list of you're blessed when, except the list Jesus gives kind of turns the whole concept on its head. It's not what people were expecting. And as we've seen in the last few weeks, and will for the next few, these Beatitudes, they really reverse the conventional values of society, both then and now. One commentator put it this way. It says that these Beatitudes, they commend those whom the world in general would dismiss as losers and wimps. They call on those who would be God's people to stand out as different from those around them, and promises them that those who do so will ultimately, or rather, those who do so will not ultimately be the losers. So in this list of blessed are those, Jesus is really turning expectations upside down. And that's why we say, hashtag blessed, but not what you think. Because society would probably say, I don't want to be in any of these groups. Well, let's take a look at the next beatitude, the next blessed are in Jesus' list. Today that brings us to Matthew chapter 5, verse 6. And if you have a Bible, I invite you to turn there. Or I think we have it on the screen here. Now I want to read it first for you in the New Living Translation, a version that I typically enjoy and prefer. But in this one, Jesus says, God blesses those who are hungry and thirsty for justice, for they will receive it in full. Blessed are those who are hungry and thirsty for justice, for they will receive it in full. Now that word that's translated as justice here, depending on the version of the English translation you're using, may be slightly different. So for example, in the New International Version, it says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Now, justice and righteousness are kind of similar, but yet very different. What's going on here? And as is true elsewhere in Scripture, when we translate it from the original language, sometimes words can mean different things or a wide breadth of options. And so understanding the right one to put there can be tricky. And I think maybe that's what we see here, because that word that Jesus spoke can mean justice, can mean righteousness. So why the two different usages? Well, some commentators, some biblical translators suggest that word here represents not the behavior of the person, of the disciple, but rather the action of God, his exercise of justice in the world. In other words, blessed are you when you expect, when you look to God's doing justice, bringing justice, for you will be satisfied, you will get it. But other commentators point out that elsewhere, when Matthew uses that same word, it is overwhelmingly connected with concerning right conduct, with living the way God requires. And so while a person can use a word in different ways, typically the same person uses the same word in a consistent way. So if that's the case, I would suggest that we go with the New International Version interpretation, that blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Or better yet, I like the way that the paraphrase, the Message puts it, where it says, you are blessed when you work up a good appetite for God. He is food and drink in the best meal you will ever eat. Now, early Christians were accused of being cannibals because of the Lord's Supper, where they took the body and blood of Christ. Or maybe you read a verse like that, God is the best meal you'll ever eat. And taken out of context, that could sound kind of crazy. But Jesus is using an image here, an image that basically connects with one of our root human reflexes of hunger. And he's saying hunger after God, hunger for his righteousness, hunger for living in him, hunger for more of him. And when you do, you will be blessed. You will be satisfied. What does that mean for us still today? All this talk about food and hungering and thirsting, we can continue that image by saying what Jesus is first saying is that we've got to come to the table. Come to the table, and you are welcome. There is space for you. If you've been invited to a dinner party, you've got to come to receive. And so it is when we hunger and thirst for more of God. God gives us that hunger for him. God does the first work. It's not that I have to seek out God, God has already sought us out. He's creating that hunger within us. Now, maybe depending on your culture and your context, you don't necessarily have the words to put to it. But we in our Wesleyan tradition have a phrase for this hunger that God creates. We call it prevenient grace. Fancy word that basically means God is giving you a hunger. Even before you know him, he is calling you to himself. He is inviting you to that table. Now, I know Jesus said, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be satisfied. But don't mishear that. It is not righteousness, it is not right living that saves us. Right living is our response to what God has already done in us. The first step is to come to the table, to have that hunger for more of God. Say yes to Jesus. Take your seat at the table. Recognize that God wants to be in relationship with you. Now, I know that many of us have made that decision in life, but maybe for some, that's new language. You're saying, wait a minute, I'm not so sure I'm hungry for God. I'm not sure I'm at the table. That's a process of saying yes to Jesus, saying yes to the forgiveness for our wrongdoings, our sin, saying, yes, I want to. You're pointing at me. I didn't do nothing. I know you did it, Gary. I know. The masked bandito in the back, he was playing Tetris and he turned off the wrong button, I think, or something. Saying yes to God, because God is already there. So if you haven't done that, it's simply a matter of prayer, of saying, which is talking to God, where you say, yes, God, come into my life. Thank you for creating that hunger that I recognize I am empty without you. Come into my life. Forgive me for the things that I've done and thought and said that have hurt others and hurt you. Welcome me to your table for this journey. And when we pray that, God does it. He forgives those things that we have said, done, and thought. And he pulls out the chair and he welcomes us as his child. So come to the table as part of hungering and thirsting for righteousness. But it says you'll be satisfied. But I would suggest that we need to stay hungry. Stay hungry. Jesus doesn't say this is a one and done sort of thing. He says that those who hunger for more of God will be filled. Yes. And the Greek word used there for being filled, it also is used for fattening up animals. Or we could say be satisfied. Imagine you've just been at the buffet and it's one of those have to loosen your belt on the way out kind of meals. You are stuffed. You are satisfied. You are full. You couldn't eat more. But even in that situation, the next morning you're going to wake up and be hungry. One meal doesn't keep you full forever. And so we're called to stay hungry, to keep pursuing more and more of God. Yes, he saves us in a moment, but he saves us for a relationship that we can continue hungering for more and more of God, hungering for right living, hungering to know him, to be used by him. And as we continue that hunger, God will continue to satisfy, to fill us up, to stuff us. Jesus himself, when he was talking in John chapter 4, verse 34, he said that my food or my nourishment comes from doing the will of God. It's this imagery of eating. Even for Jesus, he came to be satisfied and nourished by doing God's will. And so is his call for us, that blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for more of God, for doing God's will. Seek more of Christ in your life. Grow into the grace that he extends. His grace is not just for that moment where we come to say yes to Christ. It is for the rest of the journey. That we would pursue him, want to know more of him, to love him with all of our heart, all of our mind, all of our soul, all of our strength. In other words, bringing all that I have and all that I am into relationship with God. And whether you've been a Christ follower for a week or for 80 years, there is always more to hunger, to pursue God. So in a sense, never be satisfied. Continue to be hungry, to pursue God. So come to the table, stay hungry. But then, so what? What do I do about it? We're called to live it out. Live out that encounter with God. Now, we read in the New International Version, it uses that word righteousness. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. And that phrase can sometimes get a bad rap. We think of it as a negative concept, the self-righteous, or the religious zealot who is intolerant. But in reality, just think of the word and break it down to right living. Blessed are those who seek to live rightly with God. Blessed are those who hunger for more of God and pursue him. That's how we live it out. This right living, this hunger for God. Because of your hunger for God and how he fills you with his grace, that right living is the overflow. It is the response. It says elsewhere in Scripture that your faith without works is dead. But we're not saved by our works. We're not saved by the right living. But being saved, the overflow, the response should be visible in our lives. How we live. How we hunger and thirst for more of God. How we seek to serve him, to honor him with all that I am and all that I do and all that I have. Live in ways that honor God. Love others in ways that honor God. Seek what is just and right in all circumstances as a way to honor God. Because your hunger and thirst for God is satisfied, he meets you there, he fills you, it needs to impact the way that you live, the way that you treat others. Now, I'm not talking about a legalism. We've gotten trapped in that before. I'm not going to give you a list of do's and don'ts and say this is what life has to look like. It is not about keeping a list of rules. It's about being transformed by God. And how does that impact what I do, what I say, what I bring into my mind and body and spirit, how I treat others? Do I just hunger and thirst for God 1 hour on Sundays? Or is it increasingly becoming a descriptor of who I am? That because of what Christ has done for me and he's brought me to that table, that I hunger and thirst for more of him. Regardless of our age or our stage in faith, there are more opportunities to be refined by God, to grow into the likeness of Christ, to be used by him as his ambassador into a hurting world. What does right living look like for you right now? As Pastor James says, that's the so what. That's what I hope you'll write down, that you'll think on this week, that you'll pray about. Maybe you'll jot down a plan. What does right living look like? If I am hungering and thirsting for this right living in God and I'm pursuing Him more and more, how will that be known? You know, when we lead goal-setting exercises, we say goals have to be measurable and specific. Again, I'm not talking about legalism or keeping a list of rules. But in your life, what would it look like for you to hunger and thirst for more of God? What would hungering and thirsting for right living look like? How would you know that you are pressing into more of God? We started off by talking about food. Better end there too. International House of Pancakes once had an advertising slogan where they said, "Come hungry, leave happy." Well, I don't know if I leave happy from IHOP every time. But when I go, I do get the chicken fried steak. And pancakes are a suitable substitute for the cornbread. But I like that idea, come hungry, leave happy. That's what Jesus said. Come hungry for more of God, and you will be satisfied. You will be blessed. Come hungry when you come to a worship experience like this. Do you come expecting to meet with God, to hear from Him, to be changed by Him? Come hungry in your times of talking with God in prayer. Come hungry in your times of reading Scripture. Come hungry when your eyes open and your feet hit the floor each morning. What does God have in store for me today? How can I pursue Him? How can I continue to be transformed into the very likeness of Christ? Come hungry. And just like IHOP, probably even before them, God promises you will leave happy. You will be satisfied. You will be stuffed as we continue to pursue Him. Let's talk to God. God, thank you. Thank you that you are the one who creates this hunger in us. You are pursuing us before we even know of you. You have extended your grace when we have done nothing to deserve it. God, we pray for those who are watching, those who are listening, those in our community, our own families and friends who maybe aren't yet seated at the table, but may they respond to that hunger. May they realize that you have designed them to only work right when in proper relationship with you. May they say yes. Yes to Christ. Yes to the life that is available through Him. Yes to that seat at the table. And for all of us, whether we said yes 15 minutes ago or 5 decades ago, may we stay hungry. Just as our bellies growl every day, may our spirits growl for you, hunger for more of God, hunger to be transformed, hunger to be in relationship with you that changes and challenges us, that affects who we are, that we bring all that we are, all that we have into relationship with you. This transforming relationship with you, if it doesn't impact who I am and how I live, one has to question how genuine it is. So may we each be prompted by your Spirit to think through, what does this look like? How is my life different because of my hunger for God? My hunger for being transformed, by being filled, by seeking right living. What will that look like for me? May we not get wrapped up in or snared in the trap of legalism or rules or seeking other people's approval. But as we genuinely pursue more and more of you, may we be your transformed people so that we can go out and be your representatives, to be your hands, your feet, your voice to our neighbors, that they too would realize there's still a seat at the table for them. God, thank you that this is a process that you are about and a process that we get to be a part of. And we recognize, we admit, we confess that at times we lose our hunger. We may have become complacent. We may have lost sight. But may your Spirit strengthen us to cause our bellies to growl, if you will, to realize life only makes sense when we are deeply connected to you. We love you. We thank you that you hear our prayer, and this is a prayer you yearn to answer. In Jesus' name, amen.